Start the show.
Two bears, one cave. Speaking of hot and looking good. He's Bert Kreischer. I'm Tom Segura.
Let's just put the pedal to the metal and go. This is a perfect way to start off this show. 12 years in the making. It's gonna be a fucking shit show.
My favorite spring cleaning takeaway is the post-clean clarity you get. Wow, how have I been living like this? It's kind of like when you find out that you've been paying a fortune for wireless. When Mint Mobile has phone plans for $15 a month, when you purchase a three-month plan, more like, wow, how have I been affording this? It's time to switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. We use Mint Mobile at the office, and we have been saving so much money since switching over, and setting up on Mint Mobile's website was super easy. To get this new customer offer and your new three-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/bears. That's mintmobile.com/bears. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/bears. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 months plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
It's not cool to say Jews are weak. Have a little compassion. Oh, we're on. Hey, welcome to another episode of Two Bears, One Cave.
I really said that.
You really did?
Well, it's because Nadav's from Israel. We were joking. I don't think all Jews are weak. I think Nadav's weak.
You said he's one of the sneaky ones that survived.
No, not him.
Yes, you did.
No. Oh, fuck.
You said the sneaky one survived. I mean, where are we going to do with that?
This is the only podcast that starts off 0 to 100 every fucking time.
Hey, man.
Every fucking time.
You're the throttle, dude.
I'm just, the throttle.
Yeah.
What are you, the clutch? And Will, gears.
Welcome to Two Bears, One Cave. He's Bert. I'm Tom.
He's got a special that is currently trending in the top 10 in the U.S. on Netflix. Please watch his special Ball Hog, and then you will see underneath when you're done, you may also like Hey Big Boy,
hey,
my special.
Yeah.
My special Hey Big Boy was streaming last week, and it got bumped off by some fucking fat fuck. They're like, there's not room enough
to
on
be
here.
Fair, it's not top 10, it's top 5.
It's top 5. Mine was top 10. No, top 10.
Go ahead, please watch our specials.
Yeah, please watch our specials.
Watch our new ones, and then watch our back catalog.
Yeah.
Don't forget, there's other specials.
And then do this, and obviously if you're a fan of the show, word of mouth is a huge fucking thing. Do me a favor. Do me a solid favor. Text your friends. You know in those group chats you got with your cool friends? Text your friends where you got the guys who party at 5 o'clock and start texting the fucking pictures of Wood with the big dick.
Yeah.
Text them and say, hey, check out Bert and Tom's special. So that'll mean a lot
for
you us.
Blown away that I got in touch with his family?
I'm sorry. I did not know that.
Yeah. So
I want to know
everything.
Yeah. I want to know everything about this man.
Okay.
And end with how he died.
Okay. So
he grew up. I want to.
Oh, this is a perfect time to do this. So we got this email this week. Tom, I need some help. I have created a monster. I started a drinking game called Bertus Interruptus. We watch any Bert podcast and take a drink anytime he does the following. For one drink, this is one drink. Number one, if he interrupts anyone. Number two,
oh, that's a lot.
We have a drink anytime he touches his face, nose, ears, or ears. Number three, asks a question, then changes the subject to a story about himself. Number four, any mispronunciation. And number five, any utterance of Mickey Mantle.
First of all.
The next tier is two drinks. Anytime he tells a story, only to interrupt himself, and then tells another story and forgets the first story. Also, we have two drinks anytime he answers a question with a story that has nothing to do with the question.
Who is this guy? He's watched a lot of my shit.
He goes, we also have two drinks anytime he touches his toes or smells his fingers. We got so fucking hammered, I may have to rethink the rules. Any suggestions? Patent pending, Roger.
Oh, Roger, you are a fucking genius.
Wow.
God, man, I touch my toes. You know what another thing I do a lot is? And you'll see it. I grab my fingers a lot like this. These are things I notice. And if you watch me on Rogan, I'm constantly playing with the cord. Mm-hmm. I'm constantly tangling and untangling the cord.
Just to point out, in the last 15 seconds, that's like six drinks.
Oh, yeah.
Based on those rules.
Yeah. Wait, tell me everything. I want to guess. let's cough away from each other. We should put a panel right here.
We should.
That would be like, and no one could see it. Could you, Nadav?
A panel in between us?
Yeah. like a panel.
Oh yeah, no one can see that.
Yeah, like they do when you tame tigers.
Yeah.
Get ready, Roger. Have you ever seen how they do that? So one time when I was working for FX, you were working with tigers, and what they do is
yeah,
they get the panel right here. It's like crystal clear, uh-huh. But it's like a huge thick thing the tiger can't get through.
Yeah,
and so it looks like you're right. They did it for when they did the tiger work in Hangover. That's how they do it. So we should get like one of those clear panels.
Yeah, we should do that.
Yeah.
How do you know that they did that in the Hangover?
I'm just guessing.
Oh,
I just guessed.
That should be another category for drinking on a Burt podcast.
Anytime I give you information that is not actually entirely true,
yeah.
Sam Cooke got killed while raping a woman. I'm not sure that's accurate. My dad told me that when I was a kid, listening to Sam Cooke.
Yeah.
We were driving down the street listening to God knows it's chemistry. You know that song?
Yeah.
Got to be biology. And then my dad goes, you know, this man was killed raping a woman in a hotel. And I was like 10. And I was like, really? He's like, yeah, hell of a way to go. Pants down. Shot him. So, wow. So then cut to, I'm in college, and they're talking about Sam Cooke, and the Rolling Stone article guy is next to me. And we're in an English class. Someone's bringing up Sam Cooke. I go, little footnote about Sam Cooke, killed raping a woman in a hotel, pants around his feet. Hell of a way to go. And the Rolling Stone guy goes, the fuck? I go, I'm actually not sure if that's true. Are we playing the game yet? Let's go back to Wood.
Oh, you did remember Wood. Okay.
Yeah, I want to go back to Wood. I want to talk about Wood. His name's Wood. So if you don't know.
Well, that's the name. That's his stage name.
What's his real name? Hold on. Let me guess. It's got to be Anthony, Joseph, or Robert.
No, it's an unusual name.
Uh-oh.
It's Wardy.
Wardy?
Yeah, Wardy.
Short for Warden?
I don't know. Wardy Joe Burr III.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. He was born in Ohio, Alabama, Mississippi.
Well, he lived in Northern California.
Oh, so. That is not at all what I thought.
Yeah.
Oh, straight?
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
Okay, keep going.
So,
did you tell this on Rogan's podcast?
I told a bit of it, but I mean,
then take your time with it.
Yeah.
Let's clip this out. And this is one of the most. This guy, I had a bit about him when I was doing my new hour. That's now going to be scrapped because I got all you.
Don't think it's going to be scrapped. Here's why. By the end of this, when everyone's back on the road, like everyone has seen or heard about him, seen these texts. Like,
oh, yeah.
It's going to resonate more, man.
Christina was the first person to send that text.
To you.
Literally, yeah. one of the first group of people to get that text out. It was sent to her by Josh Adam Myers.
He's been at the forefront of this been relentless. Josh Adam Myers has been sending me texts with this every day.
Oh,
new ones, like all the new ones.
The Keurig one?
He does all of them, man. The Statue of Liberty. You see the video one where they put the soccer, they're watching us like a World Cup match. And
then
they put the Trump talking about, this is a big package. It's a unique package. And then they cut
unique package.
Yeah, and the audience is like.
So Christina sent it to Leanne. And we talked about this on this podcast.
Yeah.
And it was a murderous bit on stage. But not everyone knew who he was.
Right.
And so I had to do a visual, but I think it'll change. You're right.
It's going to change.
So.
And the great thing is what you have to do when you tell it, when you go back, is not explain too much who he is because so many people will know.
Yeah.
But it's like
it'll
it's
be able to get
fun.
Me there quicker, yes. I think. Yeah, and yeah. I think I'll be able to do the punches. So
we all started. If you have, if you are somebody who's not aware, people have been sending, I'm sure, you know, texts to each other. I did talk to a reporter the other day who I was telling the story to, and I was like, because you know those texts were like the big black guy with his huge cocks, and she goes, I don't know what you're talking about, and I go, everyone's getting them. She goes, I have not.
Certain people do not text like that.
Yeah, I go, well, the whole thing is that it's always supposed to be a misdirect, right? That's how it started.
Trump tested positive for coronavirus.
Yeah,
and then you sent that to me.
Yeah,
and I clicked it, and then it's wood.
It's basically you know, you misdirect by sending information and there's a hidden link. And when you hit the link, instead of reading whatever article, you see a really big black dude sitting on the edge of a bed with a really big
270
black cock.
With a fucking hammer.
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
it's a fucking anaconda. It's
Georgia showed it to the kids on her softball team and they were like, we need to get one of those for the on deck circle.
Yeah. It's like, and you imagine that would just absolutely damage you. But, so
uncircumcised, by the way.
Yeah, it's really something. So anyways, we keep getting those texts every day. It's like almost something I look forward to, like how will it be disguised, you know? I mean, there's like,
did you see the new Rams logo?
They did it with
the new Rams logo.
I saw them on Mount Rushmore, the Statue of Liberty.
There's brilliant.
One where a kid is like in somewhere in Asia and is like on a chalkboard and they're drawing him instead of like they superimpose that, you know, just all this great Photoshop stuff. Anyway, I was curious, like, who is this dude? Like,
yeah.
Why don't we? And I was trying to find him, and I couldn't find anything. And then, obviously, enough people got curious, started to be like articles written about him. And then I saw that TMZ posted an article, and they're like, "Sad news, that guy and all those texts you're getting has died." And they interviewed the photographer who took that photo. So the photographer who took that photo, a guy named Walter, was like, oh, you know, he didn't know about it until the interviewer for TMZ told him. And he was like, well, I'm sad that, you know, his image is being used that way. Like, he was kind of, you know, serious about it.
Oh,
and
then, hold on. Put a pin in that.
Yeah.
His intended use was
to,
for dudes just to jack off to it?
Yeah.
What a fucking cunt.
No, he was like, he was a nice
God
guy.
Forbid this takes some light out of a really serious subject. I'm sad this is being used that way. I intended this for like dudes really into black men with big dicks to jack off to. I mean, that was my intended use. Fucking jackass.
Well, I think he just didn't. He interpreted the information as this guy who's no longer with us is being, I think he perceived it as being made a mockery of. You know,
not at all.
Yeah.
Well, I think anyone that saw that dick was like, fucking all praise Allah.
Well, yeah, I saw that, I mean, it really makes you feel.
Dude, you'll never forget that guy's face for as long as you live.
No.
Shout out to that photographer. It's an amazing picture.
And if anybody told you in your life that you have a big dick, you don't. That's what you learn when you look at that photo, you know?
Hey, by the way.
Yeah.
I am definitely recreating that picture.
Yeah.
With my real dick.
Yeah.
And putting it out on April Fool's.
Oh, you should.
And just my real dick.
Sit on the edge of the bed. So anyways, I see this article and it says, oh, these people are selling merch with his image on it.
Oh, I saw that, like Barstool, yeah, Bro Bible,
so,
The Chive. No, I mean, those aren't the exact ones, but yeah.
Yeah, so I see that article and it said, he goes, you know, he owns the image. That's one thing that for sure, he owns that image. He goes, so technically everybody basically owes him a licensing fee.
Yeah, once again, cool guy,
yeah.
As opposed to Wood, who should own the image. Cool guy photographer owns.
But no, all photographers would.
All not, yeah, you can buy them back.
And you can buy them back.
Photographers can be absolute fucking cunts at times.
They can. I've met a few.
They can be total fucking cunts.
And then there's cool ones.
And then there's cool ones.
Like Troy Conrad. So,
like Troy Conrad.
Yeah.
Every time he takes a picture, hits you up. Here you go, man.
Yeah.
And if you pay him to go out on the road with him, those are yours now. Use him as much as you want.
He's great. He's
Troy Conrad's fucking awesome.
So, anyways, the guy goes, in the article, he says, everyone's selling this merch. He goes, I just wish that they would share some of the proceeds with the family.
That's cool.
Right?
That's cool as opposed to him trying to fucking go, hey, this is my money.
Yes, exactly.
I would probably do.
Right. So
I would definitely. By the way, I just talked a lot of shit about photographers. I'd do everything they did. Yeah. Like I would be like, that's my photo. I own that. How about the money comes to me? Okay?
Of course.
Yeah, I can't help it. That's actual business.
So I read the article and I go, okay, here's, I go, this guy's made me laugh so much.
And oh my
God,
yeah.
I go, I'm going to create merch. I have a merch business. And I'm going to find his family and give them the profit.
Oh, dude.
So I immediately, I call my shirt guy and I go, put his face on it. And I was just trying to think of a phrase, like what would be the thing? Because you can't go like hardcore with the phrase, you know? And I go, oh, I know what it should be. Wash your hands, right? Because that's the theme.
That's great.
So we threw up a shirt called Wash Your Hands with his face on it.
Let me see it.
It's very simple.
Jesus, Nadav.
I know, he's...
his weak fingers.
There it is.
That's great.
Right?
That's awesome. It looks like Michael Jordan, but it's awesome. Looks like crying Jordan.
It great. Does not look like Michael crying. Jordan.
From here it does. And who the fuck's your model? Jesus Christ.
They work at the fucking sweatshop.
Jesus.
So, anyways, I...
you reach out to the family.
Well, here's the thing. I want to get that out there. I put it up. It starts selling. He calls me. He's like, this thing is on fire.
Really?
He's like, people are buying this shit crazy right now. I go, great. I go, I need to find the... So I reach out to TMZ myself, like on their website. Nothing. Nobody ever gets back to me. It's been like 5 days. They never got back to me.
Yeah.
So I call my manager and I go...
TMZ is kind of like ISIS. Yeah. They've got these splinter cells that don't really connect with the other ones, but they're all got the same...
Well, I realized I wasn't giving them a tip. I was like, can you help me find someone? And they were like, nope. So anyways, my manager got the photographer's number like immediately.
Nice.
So I got in touch with him.
Was he cool?
He was super cool. Yeah, and then okay. I told him what I was okay. doing. He didn't mention it, but I
Sounds
think so.
Okay. he didn't bring it up.
He didn't bring it up. I mean.
Oh, hold on 1 second. I was just getting done sucking this cock.
He was like, my cock was throbbing so hard during this photo shoot. I was like, probably. So he ended up giving me.
By the way, shout contact. Out to that photographer. Where is he, in San Francisco?
Yeah.
Hey, wow, that was a stab in the dark.
Yeah.
Hey, I will totally do that exact same photo shoot with you. Just hit me up.
I'm sure he's dying to do it. So he takes pictures of like muscle bears with huge cocks.
Okay. So, and there's a difference because.
So I get in touch with this lady that I find her and I go via online, right? I don't have her number. I message her. And I go, hey, so this is what's going on. I got your information from this photographer. And she tells me, she goes, it has been an overwhelming day. I didn't know about that photo thing till today. So she's like, I didn't even know that that's how people are texting each other. And I was like, oh, shit. And you know, she tells me, she's like.
It would have been great if you were the one that to tell her. You're like, hey, I got your number from this photographer. She's like, and? She's like, your brother? And she's like, yeah, he's passed. And?
Yeah.
And you're like, well, he had a big dick. She's like, I didn't know that. And you're like, well, boy, do I have a story to tell you.
No, she was super
sweet.
Let me,
what's your number? Let me text you a link to the.
She goes, I'm hoping that, you know, she's like, he had kids and I don't want them to see it. And I go, I got to tell you something. They probably saw it.
Yeah.
I go, this thing is like viral, like a lot.
He's
a
the
lot.
Face of the coronavirus.
He's the face of the coronavirus. He's the face of the joke of the coronavirus.
He is. When I remember coronavirus.
Yeah, you'll be like that.
When they teach our grandchildren coronavirus, they're going to show a picture of him. And
probably.
Go, just so you know, this was the text all of you got.
Well, she said, you know, she goes, it was, she goes, he was a really, really sweet. It's his fiance. So his fiance and
you talked to his fiance or sister?
His fiance, yeah, his fiance, and she was like, "It was." She goes, "It was really unexpected that he died. He died
heart attack.
Yeah, in her arms at home, in 2016 he died." And she goes,
"I knew it was a heart attack."
Yeah, there's a GoFundMe that was still active or still up, and I don't think it's working because I tried to. I posted it and everyone's like, I can't donate. So I reached out to her, but I'm still giving her all the shirt proceeds. So I was like,
oh, fuck yeah.
It's going to be, you know, thousands of dollars.
That's great.
So
and then I'm sure she could use it in this time.
Well, not only that, it's that she goes, you know, he's buried on a plot with his family, like his mother and some. And what? How's that funny? What's the funny part? What?
nothing. I'm just imagining the grave sites, and there's just a huge lump. Where is this first dick? I'm so sorry. This mountain is his cock. I couldn't help think about it.
I have to talk to her later, man.
Don't show her this. Look, I'm not... You can't help... I understand he's also a person, but he's bigger than a person right now. He's a fucking face of, like... He's a text everyone's gotten.
You're not getting it, dude.
What am I not getting?
There's a separate casket for his cock.
I have a little baby casket. Had to bury him on his side because they were afraid that it would fucking unearth. Like fucking Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah, it's a big cock.
It's horrible that he's passed. It's 2016. It's been a while.
But here's the thing. On the family plot, everyone has a tombstone but him. And they haven't been able to pay for it. So hopefully this money will pay for it. That's it. What
is it going to be on the tombstone?
It's going to be...
Good. What? I'm not just making jokes.
I know.
When did you become the joke police?
I'm not the joke police. Make all the jokes you want.
If it was about horoscopes, you'd be giggling.
No, it's always different, though, when you talk to somebody.
Once you've talked to someone. Yeah. I haven't talked to her, and I haven't talked to this photographer, so I have no attachment. Just like anyone watching, you're like, eh, whatever. But I imagine like, if I talked to her, I would
It's like how meeting porn stars ruins everything for you, you know? Yeah, I go like, oh, you're a person, and you have a life. You know, you're not this object.
Oh, you're not
object.
As big as I thought you were. The So how, like, she should be getting tons of fucking money because
I think her thing is... Yeah, but I don't think any of them are going to send it to her. So
that kind of sucks.
Yeah.
And how many kids he got?
I don't know. She goes, it was unexpected. And also, he wasn't a regular model that did that for a living. She's like, he did that during a really dark time in his life where he was gonna lose his house. So he did it to make money.
It really takes the fun out of this.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I guess maybe you shouldn't have called. Hey, guys, this is Two Bears, One Cave. I hope you're having a good time. My buddy Tommy Bummer.
No, but here's the thing I wanted to tell you. If you want to, if you can, you get that shirt, all the profit will go.
So, yeah, guys, go to Tom's. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Also, people have asked me a lot.
Did she know his dick was that big? You probably didn't bring that up.
I didn't say. did you ever notice how big his dick was?
I mean, that had to be that is such a massive, that's got to get in your way.
Yeah, it's a problem.
It's got to be a fucking, like, no bike rides that gets caught in the chain.
Well, she said that's why he got into powerlifting, was that he was struggling to walk around with that thing, so he was lifting weights.
he's a in-shape looking dude. Like, he's a good looking.
He's a big.
Big dude.
Yeah. Big, loud, strong dude.
What a fucking cock. How big is it? Can you pull it up there so we can just see it real quick? How big was, she didn't say how tall he was.
Mm-mm. No, we didn't get into.
Do you think he was a tall man? He looks like he was about 6'3", 6'4".
We didn't get into stats, you know.
There we go. But let's see his dick. Look at this. Look at him.
Yeah.
What do his tattoos say?
I got a big dick.
If you think this forearm's big.
Yeah.
Hey, did you hear the black guys on the stoop in Brooklyn fighting with the cops?
Recently?
Oh.
No.
The cops, it was just them talking shit. And then the automatic go-to is take that badge off and we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
And they're like, take that badge off. And the cop's like, fuck you, motherfucker. And they're like, no, fuck you. Take your badge off, bitch. And the cops are walking away. And this Asian cop just comes in and goes, hey, guys, calm down. And they're like, take a walk, Jackie Chan. And Jackie Chan was trending yesterday because of this.
Because of that?
Because of this. It was. Yeah, did you see that? Never mind. Don't. You're the slowest person to bring stuff up, Nadav. How long does it take you to jerk off?
It's fucking ridiculous.
Like, he literally goes, Bad News Bears? Are you talking about the Bad News Bears?
Yeah, no. Next week, he'll be like, do you want to see the Brooklyn thing?
Yeah. Was that Patton?
Yeah, that was.
What was that?
That's his dick? Jesus Christ.
I bet Patton's got a hog.
You think so?
I bet.
Why?
I bet he'd be a fun guy to be quarantined with. If you had to be quarantined with one celebrity, who would it be with? Who would you want to be with?
I think Patton would keep it fun, and you'd also learn something. Like, yeah. He's really smart. He's well-read. And he might be even like, let's read this book and then talk about it in an hour. Like,
who would you not want to be quarantined with?
Quarantined with?
Quarantined.
Have another drink.
I would not want to be quarantined. I bet Maron would be a long quarantine.
Oh, yeah. 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 Well, the thing is,
want to share this avocado? Okay.
He would also get so bothered by you, you know, so quickly.
I would drive Mark Maron up the fucking wall.
He would just be like, are you like this all the time, man? Does it ever stop?
He would be so enough, upset. Enough. Okay, Bert? Jim Jefferies. Jim Jefferies would be a fun quarantine.
Definitely. Yeah.
Anthony Jeselnik's just drinking by himself this entire quarantine.
He said that?
That's what he said on his Twitter. That made me so fucking excited. I haven't had, I drank with Joe, smoked with Joe, but I haven't drank all, what? Am I touching my fucking
No,
face?
You said I haven't had, and then you're like, I drank, I smoked, I did all this stuff 2 days ago.
That was 2 days ago, but whatever. It doesn't count. I drank all day, though.
You did?
Oh, yeah. I drank all day. Drank with Joe, and I was like, I'm going to keep it on pace. But yeah, I drank all day.
What are you drinking there?
Water.
Oh.
I'm on amoxicillin.
You are?
Yeah. I'm a fucking hardcore. Dude, that, my... we were talking about this earlier. You want to talk about scary. You know I've had a problem with my teeth my whole fucking life.
Dude, I want to hear... Wait. I'm going to change the subject on you.
Okay.
Put a pin in this. Let's talk right about this because we were just talking about merch and I just got my train of thought back. The hats are en route right now. So everybody asked about the
Two Bears One Cave?
Yes. So they're not... They're being shipped right now. So they'll be up
probably... These are a limited run.
This is it. Maybe it'll be in the store by the time this airs, but just so you know.
Can people order them? You should put them up on the website now.
They'll be on the website.
And they are sized hats.
They're sized hats, yeah, fitted hats.
So these are a sized limited run. So
like
if you...
size 7 through, I think, everything through 8, you know?
Yeah, so if you're size 8, fucking jump on that shit now. I've got my 2. Yeah. I love that hat. I wear it everywhere.
I know.
And everyone's always like, what a badass hat.
Yeah,
and I was
dope.
Like, oh yeah, whatever.
It's dope.
Is your beer fridge feeling a little empty? DoorDash is your door to beer without the run. Whatever drink you're in the mood for, they've got you. Order your alcohol with DoorDash today and drink in the savings. Use code BEARS24 to get 25% off, up to $15 value on a $35 minimum subtotal on your next alcohol order for eligible users only. I mean, there's like sometimes you just don't want to leave. That's me. Once we're at a spot and we're hanging out, I just don't want to leave. And now you don't have to. The alcohol selection on DoorDash is top shelf. Beer, wine, mixers, mocktails, and more can be delivered straight to your door. Save up to 25%, up to $15 value when you spend $35 or more with code BEARS24. So whether you're grabbing drinks for an event or staying in for the night, DoorDash is here to help you have a great evening any evening. Terms apply. Must be 21 or older to order alcohol. Drink responsibly. Delivery and promotions available only in select markets. Buying someone jewelry is usually a great experience all around. They get a beautiful gift, and you get the unforgettable moment of seeing the look on their face when they open it. The only tricky part, figuring out how to get the perfect piece at the best price. This is what I recommend for any jewelry purchase. Source it from BlueNile.com. Blue Nile offers thousands of independently graded diamonds and fine jewelry at prices significantly below traditional retail. They also offer a peace of mind with every purchase with some of the highest quality standards in the industry. They're available 24/7 by phone or chat to answer technical questions and give recommendations for every budget. The thing about buying jewelry is you really don't know what you're getting into. You don't know what you're looking at often. And the great thing about working with Blue Nile is you have somebody who's a true expert that can help guide you along the way so you don't feel lost, so you know what these diamond grades are, you know you're getting real value. You can feel great about your purchase because Blue Nile also offers a diamond price match guarantee. And just in case you don't, they offer 30-day returns. Shop Blue Nile today and experience the ease and convenience of the original online jeweler. Go to BlueNile.com today. That's BlueNile.com.
All right, back to what you were saying. So, your teeth. So, you've always, like, you said that, here's the thing. I was busting your balls about your chiclets, and then you were like, I didn't know you had any dental issues. Mm. Then you started to tell us your dental history. But then, on top of all your crazy dental history, I asked you like, well, when was the last time you went? And you're like, I don't know, 10 years ago or something?
It was 9 years last time I went.
And then what prompted you to finally go now?
So I was with you guys last week. Or when I did this with you guys, I said, I'm having Parmesan mesh. Oh, that's remember? Right.
Yeah.
And I said, Leanne,
oh, you're chewing on the other side of your mouth.
I'm only chewing on one side of my mouth. This side was like in so much pain. And I said to Leanne, I was like, can you look in my mouth and tell me if something's going on? I love my wife, but there's something about her. She doesn't have the preening-ness about her, like the part where you go, hey, I got like something on my back. Can you take a look at it? And she goes, oh, hold on. Let me get my glasses. Let me get it. Oh my God, I'm going to pop this. That's not Leanne.
Yeah.
She doesn't do that at all. And so with my tooth, she was like, I don't know. I can't see it. I can't see it.
By the way, it sounds exactly like my wife. Yeah. And it makes me so mad.
I'm like, well, take a second, slow down, find a way to see it.
Yeah.
Because it's hurting me really bad and I would love to know what's going on.
Just trim my fucking neck.
Or shave my fucking asshole.
Yeah.
And so that was, she won't do anything like that. Like, she won't cut my toenails, like anything. She'll cut the girl's toenails and I'll go, hey, do mine. And she's like, no, you do yours. And I go, well, no, you're already cutting toenails. Like,
yeah, just do it.
Yeah, it's fun to have someone cut your toenails. She's like, no, you do them. I'm not cutting your toenails. And it's almost like a subservient thing.
Yeah.
Where I go, hey, like I have.
And then you go, like, do you like the house you fucking live in? Right?
Oh. If, by the
you
way,
like your life,
going
Leanne?
On with her, like one time she was like, I'm having a pain in my belly button. This is right when we moved into the house we're in now. And I said, what do you mean? She goes, something's going on with my belly. It's like, it hurts. So I go in and there was like this chunk of dried skin dirt. And I like got tweezers and pulled. I put my glasses on.
Oh my God.
I got a flashlight.
I'm gonna throw up.
Dude, it was so fucking awesome. Leanne used to have this little hole on her face. She's gotten it removed. And
what?
There's now a scar. Dude, if you look at an older picture of Leanne, she had a legit dilated pore, a hole on her face. A hole right here.
What happened?
Zoom in. See how close you can zoom in on her face? It's on her. It's on her left side. Her left. Yeah, that side. That side. Zoom in. She used to have this hole in her face, and I fucking loved it. I loved it more than anything because she used to let me clean it out.
Hmm.
When we were dating, not now.
Clean it out.
Yeah, because it would get filled up with makeup and like dirt.
I'm gonna fucking puke.
It was
man.
So awesome. And so she had like a pimple when she was a kid, and she went to pop it. You see that hole right there?
No.
You see that hole? Zoom in, Nadav, with the fucking zoom in. Do you see that hole right there on her lip?
Over there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She used to have that hole in her lip, and it would fill up with makeup sometimes.
God, she looks so much like Isla. It's crazy.
I know, it's fucking insane. And I used to love that hole. I mean, it's part of the reason I fell in love with her because she let me pick at it. And then when we got married and got older, anytime I go to look at it, she'd go, rah! And it would make me laugh, right? I love that hole. Then she got it removed because they thought it was cancer. And now she has a scar going down her face.
Okay.
And so, but my point is, I'm a preener. I love to like pick at shit.
Yeah.
And she won't do it at all. So I have this thing in my mouth and I go, will you just look at it? She's like, I can't see anything. And I go, try to take a picture. She goes, I can't. Like, she didn't even try. She just goes, I can't. And then I go, Georgia, Isla. And then they're like, no, I'm not doing it if mom's not doing it. And then I'm like, no one will help me. Like, I'm having massive pain. So I go to sleep Saturday night. And I am like blinded. I mean, I can't tell you. I remember watching Castaway with Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
And you remember he'd be like, oh, and you'd be like, it's a fucking toothache, dude. Let go. Holy fuck, man.
So you woke up with horrible tooth pain?
I mean, to the point where I was like, I was doing every home remedy, swashing with salt water, sleeping with onions in my mouth. I bit into an onion and I just slept with a chunk of onion in my cheek. I did
That's
everything.
A home remedy? I've never heard of it.
It would work for a second, and then it would go away. I had onion in my cheek for the whole night.
You chopped up an onion, just put it in your mouth?
I had an onion in bed with me with a knife, and I just cut off a sliver and shoved it in my cheek. And, dude, I did everything at 2 in the morning.
I thought your breath stunk before.
Dude, it was. I mean, I was just eating onion. Like, I was eating onion all night because I was, like, chewing on that side. It was searing. I couldn't see out of
Wait,
this eye.
How do you wake? Is it you wake up Sunday morning then, or
Sunday morning? I wake up and it's still bad. I get on the treadmill, and I'm trying to work out. I run 4 miles and I'm like and it's throbbing again. And now I'm like fuck it. I go in and I kind of suck on my tooth like you're trying to get something out of it. and I feel a pop. And I go, ooh. And all of a sudden, all the pressure is released. What I don't know is I've now popped whatever abscess is in that tooth, and it's now draining into my throat. So I'm like now like, oh, okay, here we go. This is better. But I'm like, oh. So
I'm trying to think if this is a drink category or not. Hold on.
So it's relieved Sunday and Monday, and then Monday at some point in the day, I guess maybe it whatever relief I gave it went away, and it started building back up again, and it started building up in a horrible way. And then cut to Tuesday, I am in like blinding pain again. I go to the dentist, and every dentist is like, I fucking told you so. Like, why can't they just be like, wow, this sucks? Like, I see him and he's like, 9 years. And I'm like, I know. Like, I get it.
Let's go.
Yeah, let's get there. And he's like, I told you, you know, when you last time you're here, I was like, you gotta come every day. I'm like, no, I get that. I fucking get that. I'm like blinded. And like, the guy was nice enough to come in on his day off, or not day off, but when in a pandemic. He looks at it and he goes, this is the worst abscess I've ever seen, the worst cavity I've ever seen. And you have decay on another tooth. Like, this is bad. Like, I can't do anything about this. And then he says,
what do you mean I can't do anything about this?
At one point he starts laughing. He goes, I can't do anything about it. I can't help you. Like, almost like excited. He goes, give me $10,000. Thank you. You give me $10,000. I still can't help you. And I'm like, okay, that's awesome. Like, what do I do? And he's like, you got to go to an endodontist. So I go to this endodontist.
Wait, you have to, so you leave this guy?
I'm still in pain. I go home, still searing pain. Yesterday I go to a guy, and this guy was a fuck.
What is an endodontist?
Endodontist deals specifically in root work, I think. I'm not certain. Pull up the word endodontist, it'll say exactly, but it's...
Give him 15 minutes, yeah. Hold on.
It's basically just for root canals. So, like, he specifies, what do endodontists do? Dentists specialize in saving teeth. Shouldn't all dentists specialize in saving teeth?
In very complex root canal procedure. Okay.
So he comes in. Very cool guy. I remember this guy. I'd been to him one other time before, and he was like, you got an abscess. And I was like, well, I don't think so. He's like, you definitely do. Did it, pulled it out, fine. And then I said, hey, man, I got to fly tonight. He put me on antibiotics. I got to fly tonight. And he was like, oh, cool. Here's a prescription for Xanax. And I was like, oh, thanks. I didn't check the milligrams. I took one. It was a 2 milligram Xanax on the flight. I woke up on the plane when they were cleaning it. I was like, ah.
2 milligrams?
He gave me a 2. To put that in perspective, if I take a milligram, I take a quarter of a milligram. Dude. I take a quarter of 1 milligram.
Do you have any left?
They were awesome. I ate them all up so quickly. I broke them in half and took 1 milligrams of Xanax. So I dress this guy. So I go to the guy. He goes, looks at me, and he goes, all right, let's take a look. And he's like, wow, this is bad. He's like, we're going to fix you up. He's like, tell me if you have sensitivity to cold. And he shoots just regular tap water on my tooth. And it felt like someone shot me in the head. I was like, gah! And then he's like, okay. Do you have sensitivity to heat? And then he puts just a warm cloth on my tooth. And I'm like, ah! And he's like, and then he looks and he goes, all right. We're going to need a CAT scan. And I'm like,
CAT scan?
That's what I said. I was like, CAT scan. And then he does this, Tom. He goes like, huh? Huh? Oh, God. Huh? Oh, dear Lord. And he goes, do the whole fucking mouth. And I'm like, and he goes, my concern is it's everywhere. Now I'm thinking, I'm like, we're going to have to do root canals on all my fucking teeth. And I'm like fucking flipping out. I play a song to try to calm down, and it's Radiohead, You Have No One to Blame But Yourself. And I'm like, fucking Jesus. So I go in and get a CAT scan, and they put me in this thing.
Wait, do they do it right there?
He goes, we used to have to send you across the street, but now we got one in the building. So go in, you stand in this thing, you bite down, and it just kind of swivels around your head for 6 minutes. She goes, this is going to take 6 to 7 minutes. Now, I know the machine story is 13 minutes long. So I sit there, and I go, and I'm panicking, right? I'm panicking because of all the shit going on. The fact that I'm in this tube and it's spinning around my head and I can't move. Anything about being trapped. So I bite down on the thing. She goes, all right, you ready? She hits the thing. And I go, when I was 22 years old, I got involved with the
restaurant. What?
Here's how it happened. I went to school at Florida State. I wasn't a very good student. I used to think Anne Frank and Helen Keller were good. I do the machine story.
That keeps you calm?
It's just I'm knowing when I'm on stage that when I get to a certain point, we got 7 minutes left. It's a 13-minute story. We got 7 minutes left. So all I know is if I get to, and then Igor says, different mafia runs train, different mafia runs the Moscow. I'm like, okay, we're almost there. Dude, I told the whole fucking story. I was in there for 13 fucking minutes of this CAT scan. I told the whole fucking story. I get in. He comes in and he goes, great news. I said, really? He goes,
it's a really funny story, man. We were here. You just riff that off the top of your head?
He goes, great news. It's one tooth. I went, really? He goes, it's just one tooth. He goes, I was worried for a second. And I was like, you were fucking worried.
Oof.
And then he performed a Rocco Siffredi's on my mouth. And do the back tooth is a hard
Ciao, one. Ragazzi.
At one point, and the problem is, so he gave me so much, he numbed the fuck out of me, and I could still feel it. He gave me 3 shots in the inside, like in there. He gave me shots all in here, and I could still feel it. But it was like an hour-long procedure. Maybe less, but Leanne says about an hour. All I know is I had a rubber thing over my mouth so that was attached to tooth, so it caught whatever thing, like shit fell out.
Ugh.
It went into the back of my throat, and my nose goes numb, right? Because now my nose is numb. My whole face is numb. My nose goes numb, and I can't breathe in it because as I go to breathe, it just closes. So I can't breathe out of this side because I have nasal stuff because of my allergies. So now I am a mouthful of saliva going, and I had to hold my breath in and out for a fucking hour. It was the longest. I got done. And you know, I'm close to panic, so I'm always, the whole time, I'm like, I should have taken a fucking Xanax. I get done, and he's like, man, that was fucking scary. We got it. And I was like, oh, thank God.
And like at the end of all this, it's just you had one bad tooth?
One bad tooth. I have another tooth that has decay, but that where he's like, we're not worrying about that right now. He's like, that's the least of our concerns.
So is the tooth that was bad, that's out completely?
No.
What?
It's still in. He's put a temporary filling in it. And then in 4 weeks or when this virus goes away, I'm going to come in. He packed it full of medicine. He's going to pull out the medicine, fill it, and then I have to get a crown on it. But the problem is I grind my teeth, and so I don't have enough tooth there versus gum to put a crown. So they're going to have to readjust all my gum lines in the back of my jaws and crown all my back teeth. So they are going to cut off my gums. Dude, this is going to be a... Remember when I was like, I don't want to deal with the dentist?
Yeah.
Because I knew this was happening.
Right.
I knew this was coming down the pipe. My dad goes, just get him to pull your teeth. Pull all your fucking teeth, put implants in. It's so much easier.
I think he's right.
Dude,
do it.
I should have just had him pull the tooth yesterday. I wouldn't have to fucking deal with this
No,
shit.
But why don't you just go in and be like, hey, I just want veneers. Just take everything out.
Oh, no. That's not how that works.
No?
They pull the tooth, then they have to wait till it heals. Then they put implants in, and then they screw it into the implant. I mean, it's a fucking nightmare, dude.
You need to get rid of your teeth.
Yesterday, you start saying things when you get to a place of like desperation. You start saying things like, maybe I'll die before I have to deal with this. Maybe if I just got rid of all my teeth. Get rid of all my teeth, right, Leanne? And Leanne's like, no.
Wait, what does she think?
Fucking Leanne gets in the car. She goes, all I can say is, thank you, God, I have great teeth. And I went, what about me going through all the drama? And she's like, oh, I'm so glad I don't have to deal with that shit. And I was like, oh, cool. Like, thanks God, she has great teeth. What about the hole in her fucking face? Me and we were fighting yesterday.
You were? About what?
I don't even know. Like, it was just like, we lost the chicken. And so that was a
What big, happened?
Ooh, coyote got into our backyard and ripped our chicken's head off.
Just one?
Just one. She was laying an egg. And the coyote stuck her head in a little nesting box, ripped the fucking chicken's head off, and took off. And the dogs heard it. The dogs went, like, knew something was going on, but it was Isla's chicken. And Isla was fucking devastated.
And you guys fought about this?
No. We took it to the new house that we will are now postponing everything on, that we just own an old house for the next year.
So you have 2 houses right now.
Yeah, we have 2 houses, but one is filled with asbestos, so you can go enjoy the backyard. So we took it to the new house, dug a hole, and then put Isla's chicken in, said some kind words about Charlotte, and then argued on why Dad dug the hole that way.
Oh, why'd you dig it like that?
Why would you dig it and not put all the dirt in one pile? Because I guess I dug it and like put dirt in different places, mm-hmm. and then had to gather that dirt to fill the hole. And so I just was, why would you do it that way? And I said, I don't know. She goes, no, I mean, like, normally when people dig a hole, they put the dirt in one pile. I go, yeah, I understand that. I didn't do that way. She goes, I know, but now it's going to be harder. I go, yeah, I'm well aware of that. And Isla's crying, and we're burying a chicken. And I'm like, I know, but I dug the hole, so, like, let me just. And she's like, I'm just saying. I go, no, I know exactly what you're fucking saying. And then yeah. There's a fight about, there's just little things about, like, I honestly am, like, I'm very money conscious right now about all of this fucking. Like, I'm very just cognizant of money. For the first time in my life, I'm like, let's just fucking hunker the fuck down.
Yeah.
Like, and she's just like, you know, well, what are we gonna do with this house? And so it's like, dude, I'll tell you right now, I've never felt, you know, you hear people have financial problems during this. It's across the board. Like, everyone's dealing with shit. And it may not be as extreme to some people, or is bad for some people, but everyone's fucking dealing with it.
Of course.
And it's amazing. I've never really dealt with financial issues with Leanne just because I've been tapped the fuck out my entire career. But the first time, man, talking about money makes a relationship fucking complicated.
That is like the number one thing that people argue about in relationships.
I can't imagine. I remember talking to Adam Carolla one time and I said, when you lost your job at Clear Channel, and you went home, how did you explain it to your wife? And it was almost like is a bad example, but when you connect with someone on someone's level, like you ever had a bad flight and someone's had a really bad flight, and they're like, oh, dude. And then all of a sudden you connect.
Yes.
Adam Carolla, just the look, he goes, oh, yeah. I said, really? And he goes, I went home and I said to my wife, how much do you think we spend a month? And she gave me her number. And then I said, let me tell you the real number. And I told her the real number. She said, no way. And he goes, and I've lost my job. Do you know what that means? And she goes, no. And he goes, we need to make it the number you initially thought it was. And it was like, but like everyone deals with that on so many fucking levels that you go, fuck, like everyone in this country is dealing with that.
Yeah. I mean, the only comfort in it is that you know everyone's dealing with it.
That's the only...
Because it's not... It's usually like, you know, so-and-so lost his job. And you're like, oh, that sucks for
So for when him. I got fired from Travel Channel, I remember feeling like a loser. Going to drop off Georgia and going like, I got fired. Everyone knows I got fired, right?
Mm-hmm.
Go out and drop off the girls and you're like, it's me that is not doing well.
But didn't they not fire you? I thought that like you didn't want
to... Oh, no. I told her what I wanted to do. And she said, yeah, that's not what we're looking for. You're no longer working for the company. I was like, yeah, she definitely called me and said, we are no longer, I would tell you the street I was on when I got the call, and I can tell you how I pandered and was like, okay, I mean, you know, listen, I mean, I have a lot of really great ideas, I was still going to pitch them, but I'd love to pitch them to you. She's like, oh, fucking the worst, dude, getting fired sucks more than anything. It is the worst fucking feeling in the world.
I got fired once. I was working for a shopping cart manufacturer in college, and I was working for the marketing division for a retarded person, okay?
Give ownership. I know that there's a fucking hot button topic with you, but hold on. Last night we watched a show, Funny Dancing. is comics. It's comics dancing. Do you know where this is going?
No, I just can't stop thinking about you falling. That was great.
We watched a show, Funny Dancing. It's we're comics. Yamanika Sanders and Jeremiah Watkins, and then some people I didn't really know. Justin Martindale's a judge. I don't know the other people, but I knew Justin Martindale. I knew the other two people.
Where is it? What is the show on?
It's on E, and it's called like Funny Dancing, and it's comics learning dance routines and then dancing against each other. I wonder where they got the idea. So it's a fucking great idea. So at the end of it, they go, we just want to thank everyone. You know, this is one of our projects. Our main projects is teaching people with Down syndrome to dance. And I just hear one of the people in my family go, oh, that's a show I want to watch. And I was like, that would be fucking, but yeah, keep going. I'm fucking.
Well, it was some fucking small town bullshit. And this idiot fuck was like the marketing person who had, she had zero ideas, zero instruction, zero initiative. Like, like I would be like, hey, so, all right, you know, I'm in college. I have to show up wearing like a tie. And she's like, I'm going to mail out these mailers. And I was like, is that it? Like, you're the marketing person at this company. And like, I would show up and just be completely underwhelmed by like, how in the world did they hire you? You bring, I mean, this is like over a course of, you know, months where I'm like, You literally have brought zero ideas.
Yeah.
And I'm like I'm working part time, not an intern. I'm, you know, I forget the title, but I'm like, I'm working underneath this person who says nothing every day. You just show up and she's like, could you make sure that these stamps get put on this? I'm like, yeah. Like, what are you doing for marketing though? Like, do you have any marketing ideas? Yeah. She had a marketing degree and they just were like, run the marketing division for our company. After a few months, I show up one day and they're like, can you come into this office? And I was like, yeah, sure. And I sit there and a guy's like asking me a few questions and I was like answering his questions. And he's like, I think we're gonna let you go. And I was like, for what? Why? And he's like, I think, you know, we were expecting just more to be done. I was like, excuse me? He's like, yeah, you know, we just, you know, we had like higher expectations. I was like, you realize that you hired me, told me to work underneath this person who for 3 months hasn't suggested one, like she runs the division. I'm supposed to work for her.
Yeah.
Has zero ideas. Has told me to mail things. Like, What did you expect me to do? And they're like, I don't know. We just, you know, we hired you. We kind of thought it would be different. I was like, all right, man. Like, didn't really tell me anything other than we thought it would be different. I'm like, okay, man. And then I'm like, so I guess I'm free to go. And they're like, oh, could you leave at the end of the day? And I was like, what? And they're like, yeah, leave at the end of the day. And then I did something kind of out of spite.
What?
I went to the mailing room and I mislabeled all the things that were going to be shipped out. So I took, like, if this was supposed to go to Arkansas, I put Nebraska on it. If it was supposed to go to Ohio, I put New Hampshire, and I mispackaged all of them, like hundreds
smart
of things.
And smart.
Yeah. But it was so deflating, even though I felt like it was no justification for it, to feel it fired. It was like,
ooh.
Yeah, it really kicks you in the balls, man.
When I got fired from Barnes & Noble, I came back to my apartment. Everyone knows I got fired in the basement for working out in my underwear. Well, technically, I think I was really naked, but I'll say underwear just to be safe. And when Dwayne fired me, he pulled me in and he was spending a lot of time in the basement. I was like, yeah, yeah. And by the way,
because you didn't tell them that. You didn't think there was a camera in there.
I didn't know there was a camera. And so if you took the freight elevator, you had the freight elevator, so no one could come in on you. So if you went to the freight out of the basement, you had the whole basement to yourself. Like, so you could just sit there. No one could find you. No one could come get you. No one could call for you. You could just hang out there and then go up. And when you went up, be like, oh, I've been in the basement. And they were like, we were looking for you. I was like, oh, I just went down. And so now, in all fairness,
what city are you in?
New York City, Astor Place, the Astor Place, Barnes & Noble. There was no air conditioning in that Barnes & Noble.
Ugh.
None. And it was the dead of the summer, and I didn't have an air conditioning unit in my apartment. So at night, I would put shirts in the freezer, freeze them soaking wet, and put them on in the middle of the night and go back to sleep. That's how fucking hot it was. It was the hottest I've ever been in my life that I remember ever. So my sister comes up. Ugh. My sister comes up for to visit, and I go into work. And a week before, Dwayne had had me come in early on a Saturday for a manager and training meeting. And then at the end was like, so you think you want to be a manager? And I was like, no. And he was like, what? And I was like, who the fuck wants to be a manager at a Barnes & Noble? And he was like, I'm a manager at Barnes & Noble. And I was like, I mean, that's good for you, but like, that's not what I want to do. And I said, I remember saying to him, I'm a comedian. And he went, no, you're not. You work at Barnes & Noble. And I was like, ooh. So I get fired. I go into the office. Dwayne's like, you spend a lot of time in the basement? And I said, yeah. And he goes, you know, we have cameras down there. And I was like, I did not know that. And he's like, you're fired. And then I just went, I quit. And he went, huh? And then I was like, I quit anyway. I don't even fucking want this job. And then he was like, great. Yeah. And so I walk out. I go straight back to my sister. It's like 10 in the morning. It's like right when I showed up. It was like, and I used to show up late. I remember at one point he goes, hey, what time do you think work starts? I go, like, 10-ish? And he goes, no, 10. Is it 10? I mean, it starts at 10. And I went, oh, okay. And he's like, not a lot, a little after, it's 10. And I was like, oh, yeah. So so I went back to my house. My sister was just waking up. And I was like, I remember walking in and going, I got fired. She's like, why would they fire you? And I was like, I don't know.
I was working out in the basement.
That. And she was like, well, let's get high and get drunk. And I was like, fucking great. And we got fucking wasted.
What was your next job after that?
The door at the Boston Comedy Club.
Oh, so okay.
Where it went straight from that to then my birthday happened. That was the summer. I was probably unemployed for March, April, May, June, July, Jesus. August. No. I didn't get fired in July. I got fired in like August, September.
Uh-huh.
And I was unemployed. I worked at like, I folded sweaters for a little bit, but it wasn't like a job. It was just like extra cash. I'd do PA stuff. Like I'd be like a PA on a film.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like, it wasn't steady work. It was just whenever we showed up. And then I got a job working the door at the Boston Comedy Club that on November 4th, 2000, when I was 26 years old, 21 years ago.
Fuck. I also had a job out here at a pizza place on Riverside Drive.
I would love to see you at closing time just murdering pizzas.
No, I just, I was still like skinny. It was because a little after I got here.
Oh, for real?
Yeah. I wasn't that bad. But I remember that, you know, you show up and it was a place where like you order at the counter and then you know, you pick and you kind of walk down the counter. Do you want like a salad? Do you want a pizza? And
yeah.
And at the end of the counter, there's the register. So first I remember I'm working there and I hate it. But I'm just trying to, you know, get some money. And the one of the first people like I served, they go, so you just served all this pizza and then you handled cash and then you just went back and served more pizza. And I was like, yeah. And they go, I mean, you think it's unsanitary? I go, I do, but I just work here. I don't. Really. And then the owner was like, he goes, oh, hey, I heard you answer the phone. Could you answer the phone and say, I forget the name of the place, but could you say like, hi, thanks for calling Riverside Pizza. Would you like to try this, blah, blah, blah? And I was like, no. And he goes, no. He goes, that's how I have people answer the phone. I go, dude, that's gay as fuck. And he goes, interesting choice of words. I'm gay.
And I go,
well.
That's gay as fuck.
I go, come on, man. And I go, okay. So I answer it like once like that. And I was like, I can't say that. So as soon as he walks away, I just go like, yeah. Like I start answering the phone like, what do you want? And so I'm working there for a while. And then one day, I mean, I was so miserable. I'm supposed to be in at like 10 or something.
Yeah.
And at like 9:30, I was like, there's no way I'm going in there. So I just call and I go, I'm stuck on this. I got diverted. I was visiting. And they're like, he's like, what? And I go, I won't be back for a few days. And he's like, okay. And then
I won't be back for a few days.
Yeah, I was like, I'm gonna
take some vacation time, boss. He's like, you don't get vacation time.
It was so bad. And then like a week later, I was like, no, I definitely need money. So I called him. I was like, hey, so can I come in? He's like, what are you talking about? He goes, you don't work here. I was like, that's because of the flight. And he's like, no, you can't just quit for a week and then come back. I go, why not? And he's like, because we can't rely on you. Oh. And I was like, all right, man.
Hello, I'm Johnny Knoxville.
And I'm Elna Baker, and we have a new podcast. It's called Pretty Sure I Can Fly.
Yep, we've teamed up with my friends and barmates from Smartless to create a podcast where we talk to folks who have more balls in a bowling alley.
People who accomplished something extraordinary despite people telling them that it couldn't or shouldn't be done.
You'll hear stories about the Air Force doctor who buckled into a 600-mile-per-hour rocket sled and became the fastest man on the planet.
And a man who wrestles alligators and sharks for fun.
Do not do this.
You'll hear about a foul-mouthed moonshiner.
Got a 2-inch dick and a 6-inch tongue and knows how to use both of them.
And an even more foul-mouthed female stunt pilot. We got bull riders.
Balloonists.
Bobsledders.
And big wave surfers. People who lay their balls on an anvil and hand the other fella the hammer.
Okay. I bet you've actually done that, Johnny.
Maybe for sweeps. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app
or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So I worked at this sweater place. Michael Simon, I think, was the name. Type up Michael Simon sweaters. This will happen in the next. I guarantee you we get the guy from Food Network. This is Michael Simon sweaters. So I worked at this place. This guy, Michael Simon, had a partner. I forget her name. I wish I knew the name. She was beautiful. And my roommate worked there as their like one of their sales directors or whatever. She got me a job folding sweaters. So my first day I get in and they're like, hey, we're going to have to pivot on the sweater folding. We've got to send out these mailers. And I go, okay, cool. And they're like, so if you can, and it was like a stack like this, shove these in these envelopes, put a stamp. They're already addressed, put a stamp on them and let's get them out. And I was like, okay. So I do 1,000 fucking envelopes, right? I go to bed. My mouth is blistered sore from licking envelopes, licking stamps.
Oh, God.
I go out drinking that night. I wake up and I have sores all over my fucking mouth, like all over my mouth. So I call in. I call in and I'm like, I don't think I can come in today. And they're like, why not? And I was like, oh, my mouth's on fire. I can't do any more envelopes. And Charlotte was the girl's name. She's like, what's her name wants you to come in anyway? You can fold sweaters. I was like, okay. So I come in and they're looking at me like this. Like they're all looking at me like this. And they're like, what's her name would like to talk to you in her office? The boss. I forget her name. I don't know if you can find it there. She was beautiful. So I go into her office and she is looking at me almost like she saw a ghost. She goes, how many envelopes did you do yesterday? I said, all of them. She goes, you licked 2,000 fucking envelopes. And I said, and stamps. She goes, why didn't you just use that little piece of sponge next to you? I said, I was using that to wet my mouth. She goes, you were taking the sponge and wetting your mouth with it and then licking it? I went, uh-huh. She goes, oh my God. She's like, I don't know what to do with you. Like, okay, don't do any more stamps, I guess. Like, I was like, she was like, you're just supposed to touch the stamp to the thing. And I went, really? She's like, yeah. And then dab the envelope on it and then close it. And I went, oh, I didn't know that. And so then I went in and fold stamps. I wrote one of my first jokes.
Fold stamps.
Or fold stamps. Fold sweaters. Folding sweater is like getting a drunk into a cab. You're like, yeah. And that was a joke I had.
But are you good at folding?
I'm horrible at folding.
Yeah.
I don't fold the way Leanne folds. And Leanne, if one person does the majority of folding, it dictates folding for the entire family. So Leanne folds shirts in three folds. So it's, so if this is a shirt, right? This is the front of the shirt. Leanne takes it, folds the sleeves back, and then goes once, then twice.
Does it look good?
It looks good, but they're like really tight. But I do it. I just did it once, so it's a bigger fold. But it was once, so it was easier. So now when you do the, you, now I just fold the Anne's way. I can't fold. And I can't fold. I'm not folding my daughter's fucking panties. That's not going to happen.
No.
Fucking pull them out. You're like, whoa, who are wearing these? And Leanne's like, they're George's. You're like, ugh. Fuck. Yeah. And then you pull out Leanne's. You're like, oh, cool. Hey, you want to help me fold these? Am I supposed to fold them like a fitted sheet? Yeah, I don't fold panties. I don't fold any clothes now because it's all girls. It's all the girls' clothes, so they just fold their own. And then I used to love doing laundry.
Really?
I wasn't like a laundry guy every day, but I was a guy that like, all right, time to do laundry.
Yeah.
And then I remember one time I was in New York.
Do you still do laundry?
You know what's so funny is, I don't fit. They make the girls when they design the laundry room. Made it so they could fit and they could do laundry. Like they were just like, it just needs to be this big. So their butts fit in there and they can, when I do it, I'm just bigger than everyone. So I have to do it sideways. I can't do it the same way they do it. So it's a pain in the fucking ass for me to do laundry. Mm. But I haven't done, and I'm always on the road. Ron does laundry on our bus. So he does all laundry. Like at the end of every week, he does everyone's laundry.
Really?
Yeah. And then Leanne does laundry at home. I don't ever do laundry. I used to love it. I used to love going to New York on like a Tuesday and being like, all right, I'm doing laundry today.
Would it be
like,
in your building?
No, you have to go down around the street. Oh. On Washington, just off Washington Square, there was a great laundromat. And you just go and you'd fucking write jokes. I remember one of the jokes I wrote, I mean, these aren't good jokes, but this is like early comedy stuff, is I did all my laundry and I didn't feel like folding it. So I just put it all on and walked it home. That made me giggle so hard. I walked all my laundry home and then I'm sweating through all of it. And I'm like, this is all horrible.
You put on like 25 shirts.
Put on like fucking 20 shirts and put on jeans and shorts and pants and just put it all on and just walked it home. I thought it was so funny.
And it is a funny idea.
And then I got home and I was sweating my ass off.
You're like, I need to wash all this again.
Oh, yeah, man. Getting on a conversation with a fucking hot chick at a laundromat.
Nice.
Dude, I miss.
There's nothing like being single and out there in New York City, like on a spring day.
Oh, dude!
I mean, every time I was on a streak for a minute when I was single going to New York. I was like that. When one goes to New York, one has sex.
That's because it's almost like
it was like five trips in a row, and I was like, wow, this is like unlike anywhere else for me. And I would meet people on the fucking street. Literally just like, oh, hey, like someone passing by, start flirting, talking, and then be like, let's go out.
It's crazy how willing, like how like open, I wonder if with this coronavirus is going to change New York City in the way.
Well, many of them will be dead.
You think?
Yeah.
For real?
I mean, this is a really bad, like by the time this comes out, it's a few days from when we're recording it, but God damn, it is.
Is New York, they're saying 86% of New York?
It looks really scary in New York City right now.
God damn it. And you know, the ones that are going to get all the rich people fucking left.
Of course. So they're the ones who obviously need to quarantine like the most is people leaving the city so that they don't continue spreading.
Well, that's the thing that's, I mean, look, I don't have, if you leave the city, I get it. I probably would have left the city too.
I would have left.
I probably would have done the same thing. But the problem is you're going to a small town in upstate New York that's got one ventilator. And you possibly are the one that's infected, bringing it to your town.
Yeah.
So bring it to this new town and spreading it. So that's the part of the problem is you should have just hunkered down in your fucking Central Park mansion.
Yeah.
And just been like, I can get through this. I don't know. This whole thing fucking sucks. I hate even talking about it. Like I don't know anything about it. Like I don't know anything more than anyone else that's watching CNN. So like I feel stupid, but then I can't help but share the one little thing I learned.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think I will go back to fucking a stranger is pretty fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Like someone you don't know anything about, but the fact that you guys are connecting on a weird fucking I've only done it. I've only had sex with a complete like stranger once.
Really?
Once or twice. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Most of the sex I've had.
For real?
Yeah.
Oh, what's it like? Like walk me through it. Like, tell me a story. Tell me a hunting story.
Well, this one's interesting. This is the spring, St. Patrick's Day 2000. So 20 years ago last week.
Jesus. Right?
I was there with friends. I ran the radio.
St. Patrick Day?
Huh?
In New York?
In New York.
Oh, McSorley's is the best place to go in New York.
This is a ridiculous thing that happened. I'm running the radio station. I manage it at school, in college.
Okay, okay.
So I manage the radio station, and I do a show. My friends do a show, other people. And we get word that there's this huge radio music conference happening in New York City. And one of the, like, the communication department chair was like, you know, you have this this budget for the radio station for this year. And I was like, no. And I'm thinking, like, oh, so like, so I could upgrade like mics or something. And he's like, well, it's, you know, it's like $20,000. And I was like, what? And he goes, yeah, so like you're supposed to spend it before the years. He's telling me this in, like, you know, I guess February or something. And I'm like, oh. He goes, and it, you know, it's up in June, so like you should spend it before then. And I was
holy
like,
holy shit. Guys, I was like, we're getting tracksuits.
So I go, well, okay. And I'm taking it actually seriously. He tells me about this conference, and I go, all right, so I go, can I bring people to it? He's like, yeah, how about you bring? So I go, all right, I'm going to bring these three other guys. They're all like my good friends. And and I tell them, I'm like, all right, look, we have to go, like, we can go to New York. Your flights are covered. Your hotel's covered, and you'll have some spending money. But like, we have to go to all these things, and we have like an itinerary. This we fly up there. We go to the first orientation thing, like the settle in. And there's thousands of people.
Yeah.
Like, and there's different conference rooms. It's all over the city.
In like the Javits Center and stuff. Like
stuff, I don't know. Different hotel. There's a banquet. And they're like, all right. I go, all right, I'm going to go to this one. Another guy's like, I'm going to go to this one over here. All right, I'll meet you in a little bit. So I take one of the guys and we go to this first like thing. It's supposed to start at 9 a.m. At 9:20, it still hasn't started. And I look at him and I go, let's just get the fuck out of here. So we leave and we don't go to any other things except for on the last day, Chuck D is giving a speech. And I go, I want to go to that.
Of course.
So in between, we just drink. St. Patrick's Day is
smoking cigarettes back then.
Smoking cigarettes, smoking weed. And it was actually St. Patrick's Day. We ended up going to a couple of bars, and there's four of us. So two of us will split up. So two of us end up in this bar, and we're drinking. And these two, it's like a movie. These two, like, hot chicks just come over, and they're like, "You guys are cute." And we're like, "Oh, thanks." Sit on our laps, just start talking, drinking. And I'm like, I'm looking at him like, this is crazy. We're just flirting, having fun. And then they're like, do you want to come back to our place? And we're like, what? Yeah. By the way, I'm at the top of the stairs. You know, a lot of bars there have the bathroom down the stairs.
Yeah.
It's St. Patrick's Day. People are spilling drinks everywhere. I slip at the top of the stairs all the way down the stairs, right? Like 25 stairs.
Oh my God.
And when I stand, I get to the bottom, I pop up, and the sting is so hard. I just don't move. I just process the pain. I'm like, fuck. And I'm just like holding onto the wall, and a guy just walks up to me and he goes, that looks like it hurt. And I go, yeah, it did.
That looks like it hurt.
So we go back. I go back upstairs. They're like, do you want to come back to our place? And I'm like, yeah, sure. And we're like, do you guys live together? They're like, yeah, we're roommates. I'm like, this is like a fucking porn, right?
Yeah.
So we get back to their place. They live in like a fucking 4-bedroom massive apartment in Midtown. I'm like, who are these chicks?
Yeah.
They're fucking like 22. And so anyways, we split up. We like, cause like I go with the girl I'm with. He goes with the girls he's with. And I'm like, all right. So we get back to, I'm back in her room, and she just immediately gets naked.
What color hair?
She had black hair.
Oh, black hair.
Yeah. And
is she in good shape?
Yeah.
Good tits?
Yep.
Oh.
We start, you know, whatever. We do it. It was very, I don't know. It was kind of uneventful. It wasn't great.
Oh.
It wasn't great. And this is the best part. We're done, and it's, I think, I forget whatever's on TV or something. And then I start talking about it. And she goes, you don't have to keep talking. And I was like, okay. And she was like, you can just go to bed. And I was like, all right. then, like, it was like a role reversal, oh, you know, where like God. A guy's like, hey, sweetie, just.
Yeah, zip yeah. it, toots.
Yeah. So she was like, I just brought you back here for this. Like, I don't want to hear your story. And I was I was like, holy shit. All right. So, yeah, the next day I wake up and I go into like their living room and then I see my friend. He's like, hey. I go, hey. How'd you do? And he's like, she just kept blowing me, but she wouldn't fuck me. I was like, I go, what do you mean kept? He's like, we took breaks, but she would go back to do it again.
Jesus Christ.
He's like, what about you? I go, I fucked her, but she didn't like it. Yeah, and that was it, man. But then the next time I went there, I hooked up with somebody else. The time after that I went there, I hooked up with somebody. Like, it was just over and over. And it was all strangers. One time it was a friend of my sister's friend, and she's like,
I remember hearing that story.
Yeah, and then I fucked my other sister's friend.
Oh wait, was that the story I heard?
Yeah, because each of them were like, you fucked my best friend, and I was like, that's how it goes, you know.
Shania with my sister. Yeah. What can I say?
And then one of them was like, you would be so mad if I fucked one of your friends. I was like, go for it, do whatever you can.
You shouldn't talk to my sister. She's a bad influence.
One time, did I tell you that one of my sisters brought a friend home when I was in college, and we were.
How many sisters do you have?
I have two, one older, one younger. So
I've only met the younger.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. So I'm hanging out at the house. Everyone goes to bed. I'm hanging out with her friend, and we start making out. And then I start.
You are horrible.
I go.
Hey, you gonna have a slumber party tonight?
I go, come into this room, right? And she was like, she goes, no. She goes, I don't want to upset your sister. And I was like, what are you talking about? She's like,
she loves it. I fuck her.
And I go, come on. And she goes, no, because I don't want her. And it just so happened to be like just the type of night where I was like, I go, all right, like, fine. Right. And I just go to bed. I mean, you feel like I could have been just persistent.
Yeah.
And she'd have been like, oh, okay. But I just go, fine. I go to bed. Next day, she leaves. And then, dude, like 6 months later, my sister's like, oh, guess what? You remember that girl I brought home? I go, yeah. She goes, she hooked up with somebody at school and got pregnant. And she's, and I was like, I kept thinking, I was like, man, that's supposed to be my baby.
That's supposed to be my baby.
That's my baby. But I was like, I kept thinking like that, if I would have hooked up with her and that happened, that would have ruined my life. You know?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh
yeah. Like right now.
Oh, I think
I would have a 20-year-old. Yeah.
I thought when I was 18, I thought I got someone pregnant. Definitely. Like she was late, like by a month and a half. And then.
You fucking throw her down the
and
stairs.
And I was like. I pushed it on a hill. And so she. And that would have ruined my life. Hardcore. Yeah. But I look back and I go, maybe not. Maybe I don't know. I wouldn't be a comedian.
I had one who I'm like, how did she just not tell me that she did it? Because
I've had that where you go, I think she got an abortion and just didn't tell
me. This girl, I hooked up with her. She tells me, she's like moments before, she just goes, come inside me. And I was like, ah.
You're like, it's okay. Happened.
And then like the next week she goes, oh, I didn't have my period. And I'm like, oh my God. And then it was like, how about like every day I'm checking in. Did you get it today?
Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah. I thought about it more than
like,
they did.
Oh my God. Like, and she was like, nope. This was 6 weeks of that where I was like, oh, she's definitely having it. I was like imagining,
hey, call me
panic
the
attacks.
Day you get yeah. it and be like, hey, heads up, you're good.
Dude, and I was like, every day I was like, I mean, why don't you reach up in there, see if you can make something happen, you know? So, I mean, it was like, dude, I was in a panic. I was vomiting from anxiety.
Oh, I've been there.
Imagining that I was like, I'm going to go work in a fucking warehouse. And I was just like.
Dropping out of college.
Yeah,
there goes
college.
All the fun. I guess I got to get rid of my dog.
Everything. And then one day, dude, this was like, I'm telling you, like 6-7 weeks later, she's like, I had my period. I dropped to the ground. It's one of the, I can remember dropping. Oh. I dropped to my knees on the ground. I did. I was like, oh my God. I'm like, this is, it scared me to such a degree. I was 20. I thought it would just be completely life over for me.
I think one girl liked watching me squirm about it. Like it gave her control over me. Cause she would always be like, I haven't got my period yet. And I'd be like, okay. So I'm just letting you know.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, oh, great. Fucking that girl was. I'm glad I got her out of my life. Whoa.
Did you date her for a while? Do you check on your exes?
She was the one. She was the one I told a story about. I've told a story about her. I won't say her name, but I told her I wanted to do stand up. It's the morning before the Florida State Miami game.
Yeah,
I was laying in bed. I'd gone to Europe and I had hung out with the state, David Wayne from the state, and I'd been very funny in Europe, and I'd already robbed a train, and I just thought this is my path. Like, I'm a funny guy. I think I want to do stand up. Laying in bed, getting ready for the Miami game, knowing I'm about to start pre-partying, and I said. I rolled over and I said, I want to be a stand-up comedian. And she went, oh, honey, don't ever tell anyone that. And I went, what? She goes, you're not funny. You're stupid funny. Like, you're dumb funny. Comedians are smart funny, and that's not you. You're like dumb frat boy funny. Like, anyone can be funny like you. Comedians are like really intelligent. You can't be a comedian. Don't ever tell anyone that. And I was like, note to self, I'll never tell anyone that. And then I laid in bed and I didn't tell anyone. And then I've just told this recently to someone, but
she seems like a really nice chick.
She was a piece of work. And then
and this was your girlfriend
for a long time, yeah. And then I dated a girl that everything was possible. I don't mean to slander this girl, but she wasn't the most attached to reality. Like,
which the next one
was like, you can do anything. And so like the Rolling Stone article came out about me, and she was like, you could be a stand-up. You're funnier than any of those guys. And I was like, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
She's like, move to New York. And I was like, I'm going to do it. And then I think she cheated on me too. But
two.
Everyone cheated on me. I think I drove people to cheat on me, I think.
Just by talking so much?
By changing stories. They'd tell me a story and I'd be like,
they're anyway. Like, you're always touching your nose. You're always telling other stories.
I think
you smell your fingers. It's like, ah.
I would have cheated on me. I was a really bad boyfriend in college.
How so?
I was very self-centered. I was very self-focused. I've always been very self-focused or very self-centered.
Hmm.
Very self-centered in that, like, I kind of have blinders on about the world. Like,
that hasn't changed much.
I have a buddy. I have a, like, the fact that I said, how many sisters you have, and I've known you for 18 years.
I bet if we did a trivia thing, like, how well do you know Tom? So many, like, you know, personality wise, you know me very well, but like all the details, you'd be like, I don't know. How many kids do you have? I think four. I don't know.
I have a buddy that I moved to LA with. He moved out when I moved out. We were like best friends in college, like, we were like really, like really close in college, moved out to LA together, lived in LA for a while together. And one night, we're on the beach, and he says something about his brother. And I go, you have a brother? And he goes, that's exactly who you are.
Yeah, yeah.
And I
yeah.
went, what? And he goes,
dude.
He goes, I know everything about you, and you just found out I have a brother?
You definitely, definitely know that I have two sisters. I mean,
I know you have one who lives in Savannah.
We've talked about this
I know, but I always just write it off to one, and then you have a younger brother, right?
No.
I'm kidding. No, but you have one I met. She came to my house. I remember that one.
Yes.
And then that's the
she
one.
She brought it up yesterday because she watched your special, and she was like, oh, my God. She loved it.
Shout out to Johnny Dare. Johnny Dare was like, dude, I don't know. Thanks for getting us, Segura. By the way, I definitely didn't. Do the hookup much at all. I don't even know. But he watched your special and he's like, holy fuck, that guy's funny.
Oh, cool, cool.
Yeah, shout out to Johnny Dare.
Well, Jane, my sister, was like.
That's who I met. She sells real estate in South Carolina.
And that's right. And she's younger. She's younger than me. And she goes, oh, yeah, you brought me to to Bert's house. She goes, that's like when you liked me. And I was like, what? And she was like, you know, you were nice to me. You liked me. You brought me to your friends. She goes, that was a great time. She goes, I love her. I love his family.
Does she speak Spanish too?
She speaks some. She understands a lot. Yeah. She didn't spend as much time abroad as I did.
What's your older sister do?
She works in like alumni relations for the high school we went to.
Oh, really? Yeah. She still lives in West Palm?
Yeah.
Married? She
was married with two kids.
You have nephews?
I have a nephew and a niece.
How old?
My nephew's 8 and my niece is 4. She'll be 5 in June.
And your sister's the oldest?
My oldest, yeah, yeah.
You're the middle child?
I'm the middle, yeah.
I never knew you're the middle child.
Yeah, you're the oldest.
I'm the oldest, yeah. How did you know that?
Because you listen. It goes, you, Annie, Cotty.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. 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 And it goes, Serafina, you, and Jane.
That's perfect. Yeah.
I don't know anything about anyone. I don't listen at all. The other night, I think Joe said he had a sister
mm-hmm.
on the podcast, and I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
I was like, I should know these things. Like, Ari's got a brother?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. And he's got a younger sister?
That I don't know.
I don't know anything about. I don't listen. I don't, maybe I'm not a good friend because I don't really listen to people. Like, I don't like I don't really, I don't know. I guess I pay, I'm in the moment. So like, I'm here in the now. I'm not.
It'd be interesting to watch you act because like acting is all like.
I am not a good actor.
I don't know though. Cause like, it is, the thing is you're supposed to like really listen, you know, like listen and react.
The first thing I ever acted in, I can eat ice again. First thing I ever acted in was a play. This is a, dude, this is absolutely hilarious. Our friend Lex writes a play about four guys who moved to Cape Canaveral to throw shuttle launch parties, right? Three guys out of college decide, I'm going to go to Cape Canaveral. We're going to have shuttle launch parties. We're going to be the fucking king of the castle. Everyone's going to come to our shuttle launch parties. Everyone, and then this is when they stop doing shuttle launches, right? So they live there for 4 years, never have a shuttle launch. This is the play.
You went to a shuttle launch party?
No, I've never been to a shuttle launch party. I was in fifth grade when they launched shuttles. So this is the play. And then on the day they launch the shuttle, they go to have a shuttle launch party and the shuttle explodes. The play opens the evening the shuttle exploded. The shuttle exploded. The evening the shuttle exploded, the play opens and it gets destroyed by whatever small critics, like bad taste, how dare you. Like just, this is horrible. So I don't know where this story's going.
I saw a shuttle launch.
What were we saying? What were we talking about before this? Oh, so Leanne comes to the play, and I go, I get out, I get in the car, and I go, so what did you think? She goes, you don't listen. I went, excuse me? She goes, you don't listen. And I said, no, I said, what did you think about my acting? She goes, I'm telling you, you don't listen to anybody. You just talk. And I go, yeah, that's acting. She goes, no, acting is listening to people. I go, I'm listening to know when it's my turn to talk.
My turn to talk.
She goes, yeah. That's not acting. You need to listen to people. And I go, well, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. And I drop her off. I get drunk. I'm like, whatever. So then
that's good.
So then I go to the play the next night, and I realize I don't really know what the play is about because I haven't been listening to anyone. I just know when it's my turn to talk, and I don't even really know what I'm saying. So I'm just like, that's interesting. Maybe I'll listen. So then the next night, Leanne comes to the play, and I'm listening to people going like, huh? Like, I'm discovering the play with the audience. Leanne goes, hey, listen half as much. She goes, you're actually distracting because you're on the side of the stage going, shut up. And then a reviewer came the third night. And they slam the play. And they're like, the only glimmer of hope is Bert Kreischer.
There you go.
And I was like, I guess I live and listen enough.
Yeah, listen.
Yeah, I'm really bad at listening. I'm horrible at listening. And then and I'm horrible at knowing, like, I've been spending way too much time with the girls. The other day, I started telling them a story. And halfway through, George is like, I think this is a story meant for your friends, not your daughters. And I was like, huh? She was like, I don't know if this is like something we should be sharing. And I was like, it's a good story. It's a really great story. It's a great fucking story.
What was it about?
So my buddy Eddie fucked this chick, and he takes her home, right? And he goes back to her place, and there's no pictures of her. Beautiful house, no pictures of her. No pictures of her. And he goes, I go, yeah, right? Automatically you're engaged. As a storyteller, you're like, there's no pictures of her? None, not one picture. And then we start going, are we selfish? Because OJ only had pictures of himself up in his house.
Yeah.
There were none of his kids. And I'm like, and then we start looking at our own houses.
Not guilty. I just wanted to throw that. Keep going.
And we're like, does that mean like, and Eddie's Cuban. So Eddie's, like, Cuban families used to have like one wall was just fucking 4,000 pictures.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, there should be pictures. You should have pictures of your childhood, of yourself, but your family, not one picture of herself. And so we start really going like, maybe we're narcissists because we don't have pictures of ourselves. So he invites me over to play. She had a great place. And by the way, this is the other thing that confused us. I think she had money because she lived on Wilshire in those high rises.
Mm-hmm.
Who the fuck lives in those high rises on Wilshire? Who buys like an apartment in LA? Like, it's just so weird.
Yeah.
So we're at her place and.
You fuck her too?
No. She's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. And I'm going through her pictures and then I'm fucking buzzed. I go, her friend's there and I go, hey, how come you don't have any pictures of yourself up here? And now Eddie's like, yeah, what's up with that? She goes, I'm all over the place. And we're like, what? She's like, these are all pictures of me. And we're like, huh? I'm like, which one's you? And she's like, right there. And I'm like, the fat chick? And she goes, well, yeah, I before I had, you know, weight lap band surgery, that's what I looked like. And we're like,
oh.
And then Eddie goes, you had lap band surgery? And she's like, yeah. And I obviously had all the skin removed. And Eddie's like, you had the skin removed? And she's like, yeah. And I was like, oh. And this is when George is like, Dad, I don't know if this is a story for us. Like, is this a good story? But like, I don't think we should be hearing it. And
I
then,
love that she's like such an innocent child.
And then I was like, whoa. And so then Eddie and I were like blown away that like, and then he was like, and then right around there was a movie called the Dove, or like, remember when they used to take ugly people and get them to look pretty? Do you remember that show? They'd take the ugliest
Extreme Makeover?
People. Yeah, was that it?
Extreme Makeover.
They'd take the ugliest people and then make them gorgeous.
Or the Swan.
The Swan. And Eddie was like, fuck, because we used to have a running joke that you're getting these ugly people and then they look beautiful, but when they have kids, you're going to have ugly fucking kids with them because they are initially ugly people.
This is a really sweet story.
And by the way, George is now going, Dad, enough.
Like, yeah, yeah.
Wrap it up. I get it, Dad. Yeah. She had lap band surgery. Is that the point of your story?
She's actually at heart, she's ugly. We get it.
And by the way, she's like, Dad, you can't say fat chick. And I was like, I'm cutting the corner so you know the fucking story.
Yeah, yeah.
She's like, Dad, but I think these are stories you tell Tom or someone that maybe you don't tell your daughters. And I'm like, what the fuck? I only have you guys to talk to. I get to talk to Tom once a week.
All right. We gotta go. Please go to Netflix, watch Ball Hog, watch Hey Big Boy, watch The Back, tell your friends.
That's the most important part. Spread the word.
Please
just send a text to your buddies.
Please post about it if you can on social media. Thanks for watching. Don't forget the Wash Your Hands shirt. It'll all go to that family, the big cock guy. And
I apologize if I seemed 100% insensitive today. I think I was on a tear.
It's all good.
It's all good.
We love you guys. Love you, buddy. See you guys. Bye bye.
Bert and Tom, Tom and Bert. One goes topless while the other wears a shirt. Tom tells stories and Bert's the machine. There's not a chance in hell that they'll keep it clean. Here's what we call Two Bears, One Cave. No scripts, a bit of booze, amateur partology. Dirty jokes, raunchy humor, no apologies. Here's what we call Two Bears, One Cave.